Do you need a drink? Does anyone need a drink this morning? Depends what drink we're talking about, eh? I'm not talking about booze. I'm not talking about coffee, though that's good. But you know what? Do you need a drink? And I believe that a lot of us need a drink. Amen? We need a drink. That's why I love those songs. When I was in Mumbai last June, I hadn't been in the rainy season for a long time. Many, many years. And I forgot what the rains and the monsoons were like. It's like the heaven opens up and you're just flooded. You know, one minute there's no rain and next minute you're flooded. But as I went through in India, you know, they take an opportunity to sell anything. And whatever seasons, what's happening, that's what they're selling at the moment. And as I walked past, I saw many shoes, plastic, ugly-looking shoes. They were so ugly. And I thought, who would buy those horrible plastic shoes? And they said, they are rain shoes. I said, rain shoes? What are rain shoes? Because you have to wear them in the rain. And I said, I ain't wearing none of those things. They're horrible. And, but you know what happened? I got leather shoes. In one day, my leather shoes melted in the rain. And I suddenly realised I'd better go and buy some rain shoes because I'm going to go through all my shoes because they're going to get so wet. And you know, and it was so, and the other thing was it was so wet that as soon as we got there, I thought I had to buy an umbrella. I don't know about you, but walking in Perth is easy walking with an umbrella. Anybody walk with an umbrella with 1,000 million people? All with umbrellas. I tell you, it was very, very interesting. And I thought, what am I going to do? So you know me, I think up something and I thought, I'm just going to be Mary Poppins. Chup, 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 chup. And this is how I walk down the street trying to miss the hundreds and hundreds of umbrellas. So it was a really different scene, you know. But you know what? If I hadn't bought those rain shoes, I tell you, I wasn't going anywhere. And sometimes we have to wear rain shoes if we're going to go to where God wants us to go. Amen? Sometimes we've got to change our mindset on how we think we're going to do things. And I believe God wants to break some mindsets this morning. Real strong mindsets. This is how God does it. This is who God is. I'm going to tell you that you know that God wants to change that thinking that we have. Because sometimes it's not correct thinking. And you know, God spoke to me, as he always does, through funny things, me and this umbrella. And he said to me, you know what? You know, we need to be willing to change our thinking. We do. And we need to become proactive. I didn't want to wear those shoes. All I thought about was they were ugly, you know? But I tell you what, they were jolly useful. Isn't that true? They kept my feet dry anyway. But you know, we need to come proactive and listen to the Spirit of God. Amen? We're great ones in talking to ourselves. Do you know we talk to ourselves more than anybody else talks to us? It's true. It's true. We're always talking to ourselves. Even when we're talking to other people, we're still talking to ourselves half the time because we're thinking about what we're going to say when they're finished. Am I right? But we need to change our thinking and become proactive. Because I believe God's great commission. What is God's heart? People say to me, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I tell you what he wants you to do, that none shall perish. None shall perish. If you can just get hold of that, that none shall perish. That is God's heart. And we are to bring restoration, hope and healing to this world. Amen? And salvation. I tell you, this world's gravitating to darkness. To great darkness. And I say this, not lightly, but you know what? There's many innocent people going to hell right now. Why do I say they're innocent? Because maybe you couldn't have said that 20 years ago, but I tell you, there's a lot of people now who don't even know about God. They know nothing about God. The young ones aren't taught in schools. You know, they don't know about Jesus. And they are gravitating to hell. Innocent people. You know why they're innocent? Because they don't know about Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to change our thinking. We need to put our rain shoes on if we're going to meet, you know, to be able to help with these people. You know, we need to make changes in our lives. And that, you can only do that as you listen to the Spirit of God. We need to do it differently. We need to be part of what God's doing. Amen? Who wants to be part of what God's doing and reaching this? But we can't do this in our own strength. And you know what's happening? A lot of people are trying to do it in their own strength. I tell you what we really need. We need the joy of the Lord. Amen? We need the joy of the Lord like never before. Because, you know, so many people are burning out because we're trying to do it in our own strength. I don't know if you've ever felt really thirsty. Anyone? Desperate. You're so thirsty. Well, going back many years ago when the children were younger and I was in Jaipur in the desert of India, you know, in those days, there was no such thing as bottled water. You had to have the water boiled, if you trusted that, or you bought some tablets and you put it in the water, hoping that got rid of the germs, or you bought red cordial. How's that? Red cordial also took away the germs. So we were out in the desert and we went out on a tour or something, I can't remember, and you only had a little bit of water in my bottle. Well, I had two children. You know I'm the perfect mother, don't you? So I gave the water to my children. I mean, isn't that what you do? But I tell you, I was so thirsty. I never felt so thirsty in all my life. And I started to sliver at the mouth. And, you know, and I was getting all dry and my throat was parched. And I said to David, I've got to have a drink. I so need a drink. Well, actually, I don't drink alcohol. And, you know, and I looked up. Isn't it amazing? When we're thirsty, when we're desperate. I was desperate. And I looked up and I saw a big sign. Right out in the middle of the desert. Beer for sale. Beer for sale. I said, David, drink, drink, drink. He said, you don't drink. I said, I've got to have a beer. So I went up to the stand and the bottles were that big. You know the big bottles? And had a steel cap on. My husband reckons I took it off with my teeth, but I didn't really. But I was so thirsty. And, you know, I just grabbed that bottle. I was so dry and parched, I tipped up the bottle and I drank the whole bottle in one go. And then I was drunk. I was drunk and I was going, oh, David, help me, help me, help me, help me. And, you know, the funny thing was I just drank a whole bottle of beer, but I was still thirsty because I was desperate. And you know what? I grabbed the wrong thing. How often we're thirsty and we're desperate and we grab the wrong thing to try and fill that desperation. Are you with me, people? And you know, now, even all these years later, my daughter's now 40 years of age. They still remind me. And you know, they wait till new people come in the house and they say, you know, my mum, you know what? She got drunk. They love every moment of it. Praise God. I was so dehydrated. It's interesting. Even if you don't drink, how often we just say, I need a drink, don't we? It's just something that we say, especially when things are going wrong. And I've come to tell you this morning, yes, like those songs we sang in the beginning, we need a drink. We need a drink of the living water. Amen? Praise God. You know, bottled water, going back in when I was younger, there was no such thing. But you know what? Now bottled water is everywhere. And you know that bottle, that plastic bottle? It goes anywhere. Have you noticed that? It's got no graces, no social graces whatsoever, because it'll go anywhere. You can be in the most posh place and someone will take out a plastic bottle. Isn't that amazing? And my pastor's wife said to me when they did their new church, he said, I'm having none of those bottle things in my church because they grow like rabbits. And guess what happened? The bottles came everywhere. Because suddenly we realize how it's important it is to drink water. I mean, nowadays when we're young, we drink a cup of tea. Now you drink water. And so we understand that we need to drink water, don't we? We need to drink water for our bodies. But you know, the truth is, if you deprive your body of the necessary fluid, sorry, you may sit down for a while. I forgot all about you. I said I was in complete control. Weren't they wonderful? The truth is, if you deprive your body of necessary fluid, your body will tell you. What happens if you don't drink water? Your body becomes dehydrated. You can drink Coke, you can drink all those type of things, But I tell you what, they won't quench your thirst like water will. Well, I tell you, I've come to tell you this morning, if we deprive our soul of spiritual water, our soul will soon tell us. Do you know that? Your heart becomes dehydrated. And there's so many dehydrated hearts. Dehydrated hearts. So many. You know what happens when you have a dehydrated heart? It sends desperate messages. You start to worry more. You start to fear. You start to feel guilty. You start to feel hopeless. Your temper starts rising up. Well, that's what happens with me. Irritable and sleeplessness. I've never known so many people that are not sleeping at night properly. And the Bible promises that He gives the just sleep. And we believe that God wants us to live like this, to serve Him like this with dehydrated hearts. It's not what He wants. He doesn't want us to be doing stuff joyless and with dehydrated hearts. You know, we have a greater understanding of the necessity of drinking water. But I tell you what, I believe we've neglected our inner thirst. We neglect the thirst of our soul and we become dehydrated and things within us start to shrivel. When something's dehydrated, it shrivels. It becomes very small. Isn't that correct? We need to flood our heart with a good swallow of living water. Anybody want to drink this morning? So I tell you, God wants you to drink of Him this morning. We need living water for our soul. You know, to stay captivated by His love, to be stay captivated by His beauty, to stay captivated by His excellence, we need a drink. And to fill His commission to do what He's asking us to do, we need a drink. And we can't do that when we're dehydrated. We can't do that when we're exhausted. We can't do that if we're not sleeping. We can't do that if we're worried and concerned. We need a drink. I hear a lot of messages and they're all good. Rise up. Come on, go to the other level. You know what I feel like getting up sometimes and saying, come on, sit down. I do. Sit down. Sit down and just let God fill you. Amen. I have a secret. People say, how do I do this at my age? I tell you what, I have a blue chair. And I sit in that blue chair in the lounge room and I just sit for about 20 minutes. And I just say, God, strengthen me, fill me, pour it on. Because I know that I can't do it with a dehydrated heart. I know that I can't do it in my own strength. Can you hear me? See, we need to sit. Of course it's good to rise up. Nothing's wrong with that. But, you know, to rise up, we need to first sit. We need to sit in His presence, people. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need Him to wash over us. We need to be filled. Oh, we're so busy from the moment we get up. You know, do the verse, do this, do that, do this. Oh, let us sit. You know, sitting for 20 minutes a day with the Lord without speaking, without even reading the word. You do that first. But, you know, whatever you want to. But just let Him touch you and fill you. Because our hearts are becoming dehydrated. And we're starting to believe that's the way life should be. So where do we find this water for our soul? Not in a bottle of beer in India, okay? That's not where you'll find it. Jesus gave this answer one October day in Jerusalem. It was on the final day of a very, very amazing, ceremony they had. The Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles. This feast was a joyous situation. Do you know that? It was an amazing situation. And it's very interesting because it's symbolic of the water supplied from the rock in Exodus 17. Actually, the scriptures can go up, but I would just not read it, but you can read it. And you'll see there by those scriptures what happened. These people were thirsty. God had supplied all their needs, but they were thirsty. And, you know, they got angry at Moses and they got angry at God. They were furious. You know, they got so angry because they were so naturally thirsty that Moses was fearful for his life. Do you know that? Fearful for his life. In the end, God said to him, go to this rock, touch this rock and the water will come. Now, these people had seen miracles. These people had seen God move. They'd come through the Red Sea. I mean, what they'd been through, and you know what? Suddenly, all they could think about was they were naturally thirsty. And here we are, all this time later, they are celebrating that. But they forgot about the miracles of God. And it's interesting that they were reciting Isaiah 12:3. You know what Isaiah 12:3 says? Therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. They were singing that. They were singing it. And sometimes we sing, but we don't understand what we're singing. They'd been part of so many miracles, and they still didn't get it. They couldn't see past their natural thirst. They were captivated by the flesh and not the Spirit of God. And all of us need to be very careful that we aren't captivated by the flesh, but we're captivated by the Spirit of God. Amen? Because He wants to touch us. He wants to fill us. He wants us to be full of hope. He wants us to be full of joy. He doesn't want us to be exhausted and come under it. He says, come to me. So, you know, if we go to John 7:37 to 39 in the Amplified, now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried in a loud voice. He stood and cried in a loud voice. That's very interesting because they never ever stood when they preached. Never. And they never shouted. They used to sit quietly speaking. But something was desperate in Jesus. And he actually stood. And the Bible says he spoke in a loud voice. And he said this, if a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterwards to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not glorified yet. He hadn't been raised to honor. He stood up and he was demanding their attention. He was shouting. And I believe he's shouting today. And you know, if we realize when this happened, this is 6 months before he is crucified. After he stood up and shouted and said, if you're thirsty, come and drink of me. 6 months later, he was dragging the cross through the streets. 6 months later, he was bruised and whipped and so badly treated, you couldn't even recognize him. Now, he knew that was going to happen, but he was so desperate that people would understand that they need to come to him to drink living water. There he was shouting, desperate that people would listen. Because he knew in 6 months, he would be crucified. And I believe that God is shouting desperately today to his people. Good people. People that serve him and you love him. All of you here, good, beautiful people who love God. But he says, come and drink. Come and drink of living water. We can't do it without living water. You know, don't just sing about it, he's saying. Don't just recite it as the Israelites did, but come and drink. You know, at this religious festival, the most amazing religious festival that everybody looked forward to. Do you know, even at that festival, they were disputing him. They were questioning him. They were saying he had a demon. Some said he's good. Some said he had a bad. Most of them were just talking to themselves, but that's what they were saying. Some were for Jesus. Some were against Jesus. Some wanted to kill Jesus. Much discussion, whispering and gossiping going on in such an amazing ceremony as that. There they were, even though they were there singing that song. You know, therefore will joy will draw water. Even as they're singing it, they are gossiping about Jesus. They are pulling him down. See, they were captivated by the spirit of the world and not by the love and grace of God. Jesus shouted because he knew time was short. He knew his end was coming, but didn't stop him from shouting, "If you're thirsty, come to me." His heart was breaking because these people were dying of thirst and these people needed water for their throats, but their hearts, not their throats, but their hearts. So Jesus invited, "If you are thirsty, drink of me." And he is shouting that today. How we need to come and drink of living water. How we can become so busy, isn't that right, people? When we need to be drinking of living water.